Is the influence of the Tea Party waning? Well, Raymond Smith thinks so. He's a political science professor at Columbia. In an article for Politico magazine, Smith argues that the Tea Party, like all fringe parties in the United States, is meeting its end. Raymond told me why it's so difficult for non-mainstream parties in the United States to make it big.
The U.S. is very unusual in having such an extremely two-party system. Most countries have got maybe two major parties and a number of smaller minor parties. So in those kind of systems, you would get a small sort of fringe, or what, you know, the political science literature calls an anti-system party, might be able to last for quite a while. They might be able to play a marginal role. They might be able to sustain themselves. In a two-party system like this, you basically, a faction like that, either gets control of one of the two major parties, or it burns itself out. There's a famous quote that these kinds of oppositional third-party movements in American politics are like bees. Once they have stung, they die.
Let's take a look at some of the counter indications. It looks like immigration reform is unlikely to take place, in part because GOP lawmakers fear that a vote for reform would doom them in a tough primary election battle by enemies from the right. That could suggest that the Tea Party is very much still alive. Maybe its issues have just been mainstreamed.
Well, certainly the Republicans have had a long and difficult history with immigration for a long time. Before the Tea Party and after the Tea Party, that's going to be a tricky question for them. So I wouldn't necessarily see that through a Tea Party lens. But it is true. Certainly they're not gone. If they're declining, though, it's precisely because they've done things like these primary challenges, where it's pretty possible to say that they really cost Republicans control of the Senate in 2010 and again in 2012 because they ran these extreme candidates. And so the very tactic that gives them leverage is also something that's ending up marginalizing them.
Yeah, and as you point out, it's called the Tea Party, but it wasn't a party in the sense of the Democrats or the Republicans. Do these groups inevitably peter out?
Well, there is a little confusion about the term party. If you think about a political party as someone who runs viable candidates, who winds up winning offices, winning governorships or mayoralties, or getting majorities or significant numbers of seats in legislatures, then lots of other parties, the Libertarian Party, is really more of an interest group. During the Cold War, the Communist Party had no chance of taking power, but it was a movement in a sense. And so I think the Tea Party, we can think of it not as like the Democrats or the Republicans. However, if they want power, they only have that one route, and that is through the primary system. And if the price is going to be that they're going to have these unelectable nominees in certain places, then you're going to see the GOP establishment mobilizing against them, which we have seen.
There is a strong libertarian bent to what the Tea Party said. How did that identity both set them up and also perhaps lead to their diminishment?
Well, you know, Americans have a strong leaning towards libertarianism. If you think about that as an emphasis on small government, if you look at public opinion polls, quite a number of people affiliate with that. And so there was an underlying base of people to turn to this. And then in the light of the economic meltdown of 2008 and 2009, and the sense that the government was, and it truly was, spending enormous amounts of money, that the debt possibility of the debt was going to be getting worse and worse, you know, it was able to tap into these existing notions. That also is a critique. It's not the main point that I emphasize, but there is a critique that argues that this is also a culturally conservative movement. People who are upset, they're not ready to see gay couples being married all over the country. They're not ready to see an African-American president and a black family in the White House. I think that the Tea Party does feel like in this phrase you hear someone like Sarah Palin use, we want our country back. Well, who took it? You know, we're the real America. Well, who are these other people? And so some of it is, I think, the collision of these various things happening, tapping into this underlying sentiment, but also reacting to this extreme economic circumstance and also these big changes happening in American society.
I'm speaking with Raymond Smith, a political science professor at Columbia University in New York City. And that same kind of rhetoric came out of the Occupy movement. We speak for the real America, not the 1% of America. And yet, arguably, the Occupy movement did not insinuate itself into mainstream American political life nearly as much as the Tea Party did. Why do you suppose that is?
Yeah, there's a tendency to because they arose at the same time, to look at them as being in some way kind of parallel. But on the other hand, you could really argue that the enormous impact they had was really raising the issue of income inequality. And, you know, you could even argue that they may have been instrumental in the re-election of Barack Obama, insofar as the Republican nominee, Mitt Romney, fits so perfectly into this idea of a one percenter, of a plutocrat, that it enabled the Obama administration to really tap into something that was out there and gain traction in that election.
What does this waning of the Tea Party say about American politics at large?
Yeah, you know, we see these things flare up from time to time. And, you know, in Tea Party, people obviously are people with strong political opinions. They're citizens. They have every right to engage and participate in the debate. But there is also a question of in a society, in a country that's marked by separation of powers, bicameralism, federalism, all these other various components, you simply can't have unilateral action. You know, in a parliament, you have a one party wins a majority in a parliament, typically they've got all the power. That doesn't happen in this system. If you don't get consensus, you get nothing done. And so that kind of very confrontational, an uncompromising approach after a certain point stops paying off dividends.
That's Raymond Smith, a political science professor at Columbia University, a senior fellow with the Progressive Policy Institute, talking about why he thinks the Tea Party is on the ropes. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.